mid-May here, and today Prime Minister Justin Trudeau headed to Asia. So first up, an official visit to South Korea. Then he'll be on to Japan for the G7 summit. So Trudeau's first stop in Seoul. That'll be in the next couple of days, tomorrow right through until Thursday. So the goal there is to talk strategy for the Indo-Pacific region. Then he's on to Japan. He'll be joining the G7 leader summit at the end of the week in Hiroshima, Japan. So for more on this now, we're joined by Orel Brown, who's a political scientist at the University of Toronto. Orel, welcome back to the show. Great to have you on again.
Thank you.
Let's start with South Korea then. What are you expecting will come up here over the next 2 days?
This is an opportunity to talk about a variety of important issues, ranging from the environmental to the economic to the strategic, all of which involve Canada as well as South Korea. So South Korea is a vital partner for Canada. We have a free trade agreement. We conduct about $17 billion worth of trade bilaterally every year. But we also would like to see South Korea help Ukraine participate more in providing the necessary weapons and ammunition to Ukraine. And South Korea has been very reluctant to do that because they have to look after the relationship with Russia and with China, which are geographically very close and geopolitically really crucial for their security.
Okay, so you expect that will come up over the next few days. You mentioned China there. How do you foresee that? What issues do you think will be addressed there when it comes to China?
We have had difficult relations with China. They have continued to deteriorate. We had to expel some Chinese diplomats for undiplomatic behavior, Chinese interference in Canada, electoral and otherwise. But South Korea has to tread very carefully because they are worried about the leadership in North Korea. They view China as a country that is best able to restrain the North Korean leader, who sometimes seems to behave erratically. So we have, in the case of South Korea, a country that has become a spectacularly successful democracy, a very, very effective exporter. The companies that they have built, Hyundai, Kia, Samsung, LG, are among the best in the world. But all of that could be endangered in a nuclear attack from North Korea. And North Korea listens... the leadership listens to very few countries. One of them seems to be China.
After that trip, the G7 leader summit is happening. That one is in Hiroshima, Japan. Can you tell us about why you think, or the symbolism, if you will, of picking Hiroshima?
Here, the symbolism and the substance can also be very important. This was one of the two cities where nuclear weapons were actually used, with absolutely horrific effect at the end of the Second World War. And it was the hope that the world would learn from this, that we'd all be terrified about the possibilities of using nuclear weapons and that countries would give up nuclear weapons. That did not happen. Then it was thought that perhaps we could end or limit proliferation, but that hasn't occurred either. You see, North Korea has become a nuclear power, and the fanatical theocracy that rules Iran is rushing to acquire nuclear weapons. And we also saw that Russia has used nuclear weapons as a threat to try to coerce Ukraine, to try to intimidate the West, to try to deter the West from helping Ukraine. So the message here has to be that we want to end nuclear proliferation and that we do not want to see nuclear threats, least of all from Russia. And that would mean that the seven largest democratic economies in the world have to stand united. They have to disabuse, especially Vladimir Putin, of his apparent belief that time is on his side.
In terms of the timing of this G7 and just coming off of all the global events that we've seen, I mean, there is the pandemic, the war in Ukraine continues as well. Is the tone here something that more people will be looking for? Are the stakes higher this time, do you think?
The stakes are high, and there is a tremendous opportunity to show unity because we share values. And so all the leaders have to be very careful about what they say. We do not want to have incidents like that with Macron when he went off script, in a way, when he was in China and tried to suggest that there was a difference between where he wanted to see Europe and where the United States was. And he had to retract that because it was very, very damaging. And so we've seen the visit of Zelensky to Britain and to Germany in particular, where those leaders have tried to demonstrate that they stand shoulder to shoulder with the other Western democracies. Even Macron has come online. So that has to be demonstrated. We need to address the environmental issues jointly. We need to understand the interconnection between the environment, the economic development of these states, as well as the necessity for effective hard power to deter aggressive countries. And that includes not only Russia, but China, which has been very assertive, if not outright aggressive, vis-a-vis Taiwan and in the South China Sea. So messaging is important, but substance is also essential. And the reality is that rhetoric alone will not do it. It has to be the right kind of words, the right kind of declarations, but at the same time, there has to be substance. So there has to be a translation of aspirations into policy. And that can be very costly, and it has to be sustained in difficult circumstances because there's so many different demands on all of our expenditures. But in Canada, we haven't quite stepped up. The Germans now are moving in the right direction. They are providing massive military help to Ukraine. The British have been there for a long time, and they have stood up. France seems to be moving in the right direction. In Canada, we say the right things, but we lack the capacity. We have a military that has been so run down that basically we have to buy some of the armaments that we are going to provide to Ukraine. And we need to build up our hard power abilities for our own sake to protect our sovereignty in the north, as well as to be able to contribute in a meaningful way to the alliance.
Orrell Brown, thank you very much for this and for your expertise on this.
Thank you for having me on.